This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Jeff Malinoff, and with me as always is Mark Souza. We got two very controversial games. I guess one controversial, the other was pretty competitive, but there was some questions to that game as well. But we got to start, of course, with the NFC Championship game, Rams and Saints. Rams are going to the Super Bowl after a field goal was made 57 yards to seal it. And now the question is not about the field goal, not about the touchdowns. It was about a no-call that happened pretty late in the game. It would have brought the Saints to the one-yard line. That pass interference where he mainly just tackled and nailed the – tackle is a light word to use. He nailed the guy coming off the throw, and he couldn't even reach the ball, and yet there was no pass interference call, and the Superdome let the refs have it. It was pretty intense booing and a lot of hissing and hollering, and people think that was the reason the Rams won that game. Would you agree, Mark?
I mean, it wasn't the reason why the Rams won the game, but it's definitely one of the worst missed calls in sports history. I mean, I think we can – I don't think we're overstepping when we say – that this was one of the worst calls of all time.
It's like
sports.
The tuck rule. That's basically
but
what
it is. But the tuck rule wasn't a missed call. It was just a bad rule. Like, it was just a dumb rule that no one knew how it was in the rule book.
It's going to be remembered like the tuck rule.
Right.
That's what I'm implying.
So this game will be remembered absolutely for
that one
the
play.
Horrible missed call, because the thing is, not only was it pass interference, it was also helmet-to-helmet contact. They could have actually thrown a flag for two different fouls on the same play.
So they would have been at the half a distance to the goal, an inch.
Either way, the ball would either have been at the 6-yard line or about the 10 if they called a personal foul. But the Saints would have had the ball with a minute 44 left, and the Rams could only stop the clock one more time. So they would have kneeled three times and then kicked a field goal. Whether or not Will Lutz makes it, we don't know. But about a 27-yard field goal is 95% for today's kicker. So does he make it? Probably. I would say 90-plus percent chance that he makes it, wins the game.
Say 95.
Yeah, we'll never know. But regardless, the Rams would not have had an opportunity to get the ball.
I thought Sean Payton was going to attack one of the refs. I really did. He looked like he was going to choke one. Like, you're just going to pull.
Yeah, I'm sure the refs didn't even hear the crowd noise. They just heard Sean Payton because he was going absolutely
bananas. You can't blame the guy.
I can't blame Sean Payton for that, but I can blame Sean Payton for the loss.
How so?
Well, first off, on first down, he throws an incomplete pass.
Yeah.
That was a big, big mistake.
Well, we know that Sean Payton is a risk taker. He never plays conservative. Mm-hmm. And even when he has the best running back, arguably the best running back in the league, in Alvin Kamara, he still doesn't run the ball as often as he should.
Yeah, and the situation calls for a run there because it's under 2 minutes. The defense,
Burns,
you kind of have them on the ropes at that point. Like, they need a stop. And by you throwing the football, you allow them to stop the clock without burning a timeout.
And Kamara could get that first down and yep, it's a very possible chance he could have gotten that first down.
And the thing is that the play that they called was a little slant route to Thomas underneath another receiver kind of setting a screen.
Sounds
like
familiar.
Like a pick play. So it was a very high percentage pass. Like, I get what they were doing. But again, you throwing the football, you allow yourself the opportunity to be scrutinized. And it didn't work out.
Yeah,
it didn't work out. And what happened was, it changes. Second and 10, the Rams still have a timeout. Like, that changes the complexity of the situation.
Oh, yeah, Rams brought a timeout, a whole different story.
Right.
I believe they had only one timeout left, or two.
So, fortunately for Sean Payton, a blown call is what the game will be remembered by, and not him mismanaging the game, mm-hmm. you know? But...
Well, we've known for years now that Sean Payton is not conservative, and I think it really showed when he's just trying to score as fast as possible, and in that situation, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to burn out the clock and maybe even take it down to 1 second before you score so they don't have a chance to score back type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
That's just football 101.
Yeah, we'll never know what happened, what would have happened, but... We have a better idea. We know the Saints would have a better chance of winning if they had ran the ball in that first down play. That's just a fact. Also, the Saints were in the Rams red zone 5 times and scored 2 touchdowns.
For a team that's 13-3 and one of the best offenses in the NFL, that's shocking.
So that's another thing. Like, yes, this game be remembered by the terrible call, but we cannot excuse the fact that the Saints had a lot of missed opportunities to win this game. They also had the ball first in overtime. They threw an interception. So
that interception, was that ball batted? So, like, I know, like, Michael Thomas ran into the defender before he picked the ball up. That's why some people said that was pass interference, but I thought that wasn't pass interference.
That's no PI.
Yeah,
the ball wasn't tipped. It was basically a Hail Mary, and you're not gonna throw a flag for the receiver turning and running directly into
DB. The thing with that was Michael Thomas tried to play it off as a pass interference call and kind of like staggered.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, but that led to the interception. If he was just staying there as well, fighting for that ball, it wouldn't have been picked off as easily. He staggered off to the opposite to the right side where the ball's not even going. And it's going
left. I don't know. I don't even know he knew where that ball was going to land. I know that he looked
Maybe he should have looked. I don't know.
Well, I know that he saw the ball flailing in the air, but it was one of those things where he caught a glimpse of it, and then he turned to run, and he ran to the guy. So he was a little bit disoriented. Like, yeah. I get it.
But he kept playing it on before the ball was even in his hand, in the guy's hands.
Yeah. Basically, the Rams, I mean, they win this game. I don't think their fans give two craps about how they got there, to be honest with you. Like,
any team fan of a team won't care.
They're not gonna you know, feel sorry about winning a football game. And
oh no, absolutely not.
They were refreshingly honest. I mean, Nikhil Roby Coleman, the DB in question on the missed pass interference,
he said I nailed him.
He said he hit him, and that he thought they were gonna throw the flag, and it never came, and he was like, cool.
But why would you risk that, though? That's such a risky thing to do. Like, why? Like, if he looked, like, we talked about this. If he looked at the ball, that's a pick.
He was just caught out of position, and he knew. He didn't know where the ball was. He's figuring, okay, this guy's running full speed, and he's going to go by me because I'm kind of flat-footed right now.
Oh, I knew what he was thinking, but just imagine if you just a glimpse at the ball, he would have saw that it was a little bit off. He could have picked that off. If he's running that way, that might be a pick six.
Yeah. When I look at the box score of this game, something that jumps out at me is the Saints ran the ball 21 times and threw the ball 41 times, and they were winning for 99% of this game. Like, the only time they were losing was the final play. That's the only time that they were behind. That's it. The Rams had the lead no part of this game until they kicked the game-winning kick, which, by the way, I'll tell you right now, Greg Zuerlein, when they were going to kick, I'm like, he's going to nail it. This dude's the best kicker in the NFL. And he could hit that from 75.
That had plenty of space.
Like, I don't know if people know who Greg Zuerlein is. If you play fantasy football, you definitely know he's Greg the Leg. You absolutely know that. But that dude can kick with – if there is a skills competition for kicker in the NFL and distance, he would win.
Yeah.
He'd be the front
runner. That kick, yeah, like you said, could have easily went 70 yards.
He nailed it. He just absolutely nailed it.
He hit it right in the sweet spot.
I will say, though, his kick to tie the game.
That almost missed. That was scary close. It curved in.
It knuckled a little bit.
As soon as he kicked, I'm like, he's going to miss this. It looked like it was about to hit the goalpost, Parkey, and then it barely missed.
It's funny because for a tenth of a second, it looked, hey, maybe this kick will go wide. But then I was like, oh, that's fine. It wasn't that close at the end of the day. It just looked like it jerked a little bit to the right, and you're like, uh-oh.
But this game looked all Saints throughout three quarters until the final quarter.
I just don't understand how they didn't do a better job running the football. That's two games in a row now. The Rams' run defense that has been pretty bad this year stepped up. I know we talked about it last week. I mentioned, like, I think their run defense is actually really good, but they take a lot of plays off because they're trying to rush the passer.
You want to hear a bad statistic? They ran the ball. Kamara and Ingram both ran the ball combined 17 times.
Mm-hmm.
They
didn't 46 yards.
Neither of them had more than 10 carries. That's a travesty, Sean Payton. I'm sorry, but you need to give them the ball a lot more than that.
Kamara did have 11 catches, so he was the focal point. But, yeah, Ingram was pretty
but
silent.
I understand, like, 96 yards, 11 receptions is great, but he's a running mech. You got to give him more carries in that matter.
Mm-hmm.
He's dangerous. He's arguably the best running back in the NFL.
I honestly, I heard Sean McVay after the game say that Todd Gurley's healthy, and that's obviously not true. I mean, you can't give the guy four carries.
Attempts, yeah.
And because he dropped a pass that led to an interception in the first.
Well, he did get a touchdown, but, I mean, that's a consolation prize.
I just don't. Gurley said after the game that he's not hurt. McVay said he's not hurt. BS.
If he wasn't, he would got 25 carries.
The dude is clearly hurt. He was arguably the MVP for the first eight games of the season this year and one of the best players in the NFL, and you're telling me that the last 3 weeks or the last 2 weeks he's been healthy, but he's just been the second best running back behind C.J. Anderson? I don't believe you.
Well, they have T.S. 2 weeks to heal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but basically, this game just put just a rotation in your mouth just on the no call, the pass interference. That's what's only going to be remembered for that. But I do have to say, I do have to ask you, if the Saints won this game, do you see them winning the Super Bowl still? Because you had them winning the Super Bowl, correct?
I had the Saints and the Patriots in the Super Bowl, but I never picked who would win. I don't think they would have won. Like not against the Patriots.
That would have been some game, Brady and Breeze.
Yep, but it would have. I think we're going to get a good game, though. All four teams that were playing yesterday, I don't think
there was
a bad matchup.
Well, they were all top four offenses in the league.
Yeah, and probably the top two defenses of the four remaining after the fact. I know the Saints had a more vaunted defense, but I don't know if they're better than the Rams' defense. It's pretty close.
Donald and Sue is a very dangerous combination on the line.
Is, you know, maybe the best defensive player in the league, and
that's safe to say.
And the Rams also have other good players. You know, Brockers, Sue. They even got Dante Fowler. Dante Fowler is the one player who hit Breeze to cause the interception in overtime. He's the one that applied the pressure. A former first-round pick. He goes to Jacksonville, kind of falls out of the rotation with them. Looks like he's a bust. The Rams trade a fourth or a fifth-round pick for him in like week right at the deadline. And then he ends up making a huge play for them yesterday. I don't know if we'll see that again out of him. And, you know, his thing is he hasn't been consistent in the NFL. He's been a bust to this point. But, man, he picked a hell of a time to step up and make a play. I'll tell you that.
But you probably couldn't hear a lot what was going on just because of the Superdome booing their lungs out at the officials. When the overtime started and the referee was discussing the rules, you couldn't hear him.
Right.
And he had a microphone. That's how loud they were booing.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he got out of there.
I mean,
because a lot of people
at the end of the day, man, Saints fans can be pissed off at the refs, but I think they got to be pissed off at Sean Payton more than anything, to be honest with you, because I think that they totally blew this game more than the refs did.
Sean Payton to them can make no wrong mistakes.
They had a 13-point lead.
I get that.
They never were behind in the game. They didn't run the football. They had the ball with 2 minutes left inside the 20-yard line of the Rams and couldn't manage the clock correctly. They got the ball first in overtime. I mean, they had every opportunity to win this game. They played at home. The Rams were lost the first half. I mean, the Saints could have put the game away early. They didn't. The Rams held strong defensively and forced two field goals early. Could have got out of hand. It didn't. And you let a young Rams quarterback, the young head coach, kind of outplay you, outcoach you at the end of the day.
It was, yes, and McVay is going to the Super Bowl and Sean Payton's not. I guess that shows what you were talking about.
Maybe this is why all the rest of the NFL is trying to get McVay's former assistants, you know?
Well, I know what you're talking
maybe
about.
Everybody, this is why, right? Well, we got to get Sean McVay's friends. Maybe they're all just trying to get a piece of Sean McVay.
It's like Bill Belichick, though. Like, is he going to be like Bill Belichick's assistants where they can't get anything done without him?
Probably. We'll see.
Well, we're going to see about, what, one or two different teams with this opportunity?
Yeah, it looks like Zach Taylor is the new coach of the Bengals. And
not official yet, but probably going to be by the end of the season.
And then LaFleur is the new coach of the Packers. Yeah, so we'll see.
I'm really surprised the Packers didn't go with a veteran, but, you know, what are you going to do? But any final thoughts on the NFC Championship game?
My final thoughts are Todd Gurley's obviously injured. Sean McVay's going to be devastating the NFL for the next 25 to 30 years. I'm not sure if Jared Goff...
Is he going to slowly turn into Belichick, put on a hoodie, and just become all old and corroded?
Maybe. I'm not sure if Jared Goff is there yet. I still don't know. It wasn't really a Goff win for me. It was more of a...
Team win?
Yeah, it was a very team win. And then for the Saints, you know, I think for the Saints, the thing about Sean Payton and Drew Brees is they've been good for so long, but maybe neither gets the amount of respect that they think they should get or that most people think they should get. But at the end of the day, they've won one Super Bowl, and it's hard to say that they deserve... you know, more of the limelight because, I mean, Breeze missed some opportunities in that game too. It's not just Sean Payton. Breeze's pass to Michael Thomas was pretty terrible on that first down play. I mean, he threw the ball in the dirt.
Multiple questionable passes, honestly. And my final thoughts on this is just the Rams were just meant to win this game. You know, some teams, some of the games go in one team's favor, and at the end of the day, it went to the Rams more than it did the Saints. And the Rams are the ones going to the Super Bowl for the first time since 2001. Ironically, they played the Patriots the last time, and Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt at the top of their game. So we're about to see a little rematch of from 18 years ago, which is fun to see.
I think it's a little funny that this is... like, I don't know if anybody's talked about this, but it's kind of like the Brandon Cooks revenge tour. He played for the Saints. He beats the Saints. He played for the Patriots. Now he has a chance to
beat them. I forgot he paid for the Patriots.
Yeah, so it could be like...
How
sweet would it be if the Rams win the Super Bowl and Brandon Cooks has a good game?
And he gets MVP.
And he beats both of those teams.
He gets Super Bowl MVP. I think that
he had a good game yesterday, too. He had over 100 yards receiving.
Yeah,
he
did. But that is... they're done for the first segment of the NFC Championship game. Next segment, we'll be talking about the AFC Championship game between the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll get right on that when we return.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back, everyone, to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We just finished talking about the NFC title game. Now let's move on to the AFC title game between the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs. It looked like it was the Chiefs' day for a very small bit. There was an interception at the end of the game that looked like it was all in the Chiefs' grasp, and then there was an offsides call that put an end to that. And he was offsides by, 5 yards?
Yeah, Dobbs. It wasn't close.
Yeah, and that's very disappointing because that then led to the tying, or I guess the 3-point lead, or was it?
It doesn't matter if he's offside or not. Everyone who hates the Patriots will just say that it was rigged.
Yep.
You know how this game goes.
Have you seen the Instagram post already of it's the Rams Super Bowl and it's just the referees in Rams and Patriots jerseys?
No, but I saw the picture of Todd Gurley and the referee swapping jerseys.
I like that one too. I thought that was good. I thought those were very entertaining. But the fact is, this game ended in overtime. First time in history that two title games went to overtime in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is only the second time the AFC Championship game went to overtime, the first one being after the drive between the Broncos and the Cleveland Browns in 1986, which the Broncos then won that game. And now we're moving on to what happened in this game. In final overtime in this one, 37-31, Patriots win. They're going to the third consecutive Super Bowl. I posted this on my Instagram. I said, sky is blue, grass is green, and the Patriots go to the Super Bowl.
I tried telling you, man.
As soon as I joined the bandwagon of the Chiefs, they lose. Am I a curse?
It wasn't the Chiefs. It might just be the Patriots.
It might be me. I might be a curse.
It's just the Patriots. Not the Chiefs. It's the Patriots. It wasn't you joining the bandwagon. It was you betting against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in a big game. They've lost before, but they don't lose very often.
I know. I get that. And it's nothing against them. I just like variety and not consistency in my NFL days.
Mm-hmm.
I wish
of us was bound to go after the first game. One of us was bound to go 0-2 in our picks, and I was like,
"We both no, I did."
Yeah, because we both picked the Saints, and then you picked the Chiefs. I picked the Patriots. But after the Rams won, I was thinking, "Well, one of us is definitely 0-2 because only one of these teams could win." We both got the first game wrong. What can you say? It's Tom Brady.
You know, I just realized, hold on, before we go to the AFC Championship game real quick, I just realized the Saints had to go through the Minneapolis Miracle last year, and now they have to go through this. It's a pretty rough 2-year span in the playoffs.
You know, it's funny. Yes, the Saints.
I just forgot about that.
What's funny, though, you mentioned the word miracle. Had the Miami Miracle not happened, the Patriots would have hosted yesterday. You know that? If Miami doesn't win that epic game on the last play with Gronkowski,
the Miami flailing, Miracle, trying is that what
to,
they call it?
Yeah, the Miami Miracle. With Gronk flailing, trying to stop Kenyon Drake, they would have actually hosted the AFC Championship game. So what do we see last night? We saw the Patriots go into Arrowhead, take a lead early. What was it, 14-0 at halftime?
Yes, it was.
The Chiefs scored 31 points in the second half and lost, which is crazy to me.
But again, it's who they played.
Yeah, it's Brady. It's Belichick. And it took the Chiefs a whole half to figure out that Patriots defense. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that's too long.
Yeah. It's one of those things in where there was a lot of people saying the Patriots wouldn't even get close to the Super Bowl.
The Patriots flustered Mahomes. He didn't have any time to throw in the first half.
Oh, no,
Second half, they opened it up. He played a lot better. But that first half, what did he have, like 30 yards passing at halftime? It was like, wow.
Oh, it was something very minuscule compared to his stats. Like
Tyreek Hill had like one catch for a big gain, and that was really it in the first half.
And then that first touchdown to Kelsey really turned the tide. It was like, okay, we got a ball game, maybe.
What's up with Mahomes and his no-look passes?
I think
is that really something you should be doing? Like,
no, you shouldn't.
Every game?
You really, really...
Like, is there a reason to do that?
Is that his signature now? Is it just like he's going to try to do that every single game?
I don't really understand why you do it on a slant either way, because like a slant's a quick hitter. It's not like you really need to look anyone off.
Yeah, that's a good point. It was a slant route. Like, I understand the first time he did it because it was like it was a scramble and he was just looking to make a play and he found someone and tried to make it no look. Like, he tried to take advantage of the opportunity. This one, it seemed like it was planned out. This one seemed like they were thinking, okay, let's try this no look pass again.
Yeah, so let's see. Patriots They give up 24 points in the fourth quarter. That was the most points ever in a quarter in the playoffs, 38, that fourth quarter yesterday, 38 mm-hmm. total points. It's funny because the over-under this game was 57. It looked like it was going way under.
Yeah,
at halftime it was 14-0.
Yeah.
And it took an
Who
epic...
Who would have thought it would have ended 37-31? It
took an epic fourth quarter to hit the over. Unbelievable. Ends up being 68 total points, which is a lot.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? What is your takeaway from this game if you're the Chiefs?
Devastated, obviously, but there's still time to get back there.
You know, they kept saying before the game, like a lot of the pregame coverage was, oh, the Chiefs finally broke the curse. They won a playoff game at home, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God, you jinxed it. That's
like,
what I was thinking,
too. Stop talking about
like,
that. Like, what are you doing?
Announcers are the biggest jinx in the history of sports. Like, you know when they say, like, he's never thrown an interception this season, and it's, like, week 15, he finally throws one? It's like, oh, well, sorry.
The Chiefs...
Like, don't talk about it. Don't bring it up.
So, I've heard this before. Somebody once told me that the NFL, when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter if you're a run team, a pass team, a defensive team. But somebody once told me that the NFL is just one big game of third down conversions. Like, whoever converts the more of the third downs is probably going to win. Like, and that's a pretty good indicator.
I see what you're saying. So, you saying that... Okay,
like,
so
when it comes down to
what,
it, the box score, yeah. If you look at it, it'll be third down
conversions. And who got the more third down conversions? Obviously, the
I don't
Patriots.
Know who did. I actually
well,
haven't
the
checked.
More crucial third down conversions,
yes.
The Patriots.
The Patriots were 13 of 19, and the Chiefs were 4 of 9. So the Chiefs weren't terrible, but the Patriots were just really efficient.
Well, in that overtime drive, they had, what, 4 third down conversions completed?
3 that I know of.
And
they were all third and long. They were third and 10, third and 9, third and 7.
Yeah, and you couldn't stop them. And Gronk got 2 of those.
The Patriots had 500 yards of total offense. Chiefs had 290. That is pretty interesting.
We all said that the biggest flaw in the Chiefs was their defense. And to be honest, that's what killed them this game, is their poor defensive play. When it came to third down, they couldn't get the
Patriots
job done.
Patriots were able to run the ball really well.
Sony Michel had another amazing game.
Burke had too. James White even had a good game. The running backs for New England all played pretty well. I mean, White had 6 carries for 23 yards. Burke had 12 for 41. Michel 29 of 113. 4 touchdowns running the ball. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Yeah, there was a lot of good things, but again... It's one of those things, and it's who's better coached, and it's safe to say that Belichick is better than Andy Reid. I feel bad for Andy Reid. Many times he's been to this
game.
Yeah,
I don't think it was Andy Reid yesterday. I mean, again.
No. I'm admitting it that it wasn't, because usually I would say it is
mm-hmm.
because of his questionable calls in these certain kind of games. But he made the right calls. His team just couldn't get the job done.
The Patriots are just better. Like... I know that we've talked about this. I know that you were saying that you thought the Chargers were better than the Patriots. I've heard people say the Chiefs are better than... I don't... Like, why do people think the Patriots aren't as good as these teams? Is it because they're not as flashy?
Because
like,
no
that's
one
what
wants
I think.
Them to be. It's that...
Oh, I agree with that 100%.
It's not that... It's just no one... Everyone saw that they had flaws this season.
Everybody wants them to lose. I get it.
And everyone wants them to lose, and everyone won't admit it. And I was on that same – I understood what everyone was coming from. And the fact remains that the Patriots are still the best in the NFL. It's when Brady's gone and Belichick's gone that I will see that this dynasty, I believe, will end. But before that,
and
no.
I believe that will be after next game.
You think the last game is their final time together?
Yes. Absolutely.
Win or lose or –
Win or lose.
I say win. I say yes. I say lose. I say they stay another year.
Win, it's easier. Lose, it's harder, but I still think it will be.
I'm going to say win, stay, win, leave, leave, or lose, leave.
I only say this
that
because
sense.
I only say this because even though the Patriots are still maybe the best team in the NFL, that ship is definitely sinking. Like, that ship is not, next year, they're not going to be as good. They're just not.
How many times have we said this, though?
Tom Brady. Tom Brady is still very good, but and he can still win any game, like any one game that there is. But another season, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't see him risking him playing 1 year too long, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't see him putting himself out there to be like, I'm going to play one more year. Oh, I definitely shouldn't have come back this year. I don't think he'll be like that. I think he'll retire. And if he retires, Belichick's retiring. I don't. I think they're a tandem. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. This is. But I feel like if they do return next season, which I think they might. I think it's still a good chance this is going to happen. They will be back. Not in the Super Bowl, but again, AFC title game. That's just how I see things.
Maybe
I now. I'm going to say I refuse to believe they are bad with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I know that's an obvious statement, but it's one of those things where I'm saying, like, once they're gone, the dynasty will end. Not before.
I'm pretty I am pretty certain that – no, I know for sure. I'm not pretty certain. Their whole we're the underdog thing was – eye rolling to me, like, yeah,
we both talked about that, how eye rolling it was,
but I do agree with kind of the sentiment, and that is that people don't think the Pats are still great. They're still great. And if there's one thing that the last two games have proven, it's that they might not be the best offense in the NFL. They might not have Randy Moss. They might not be throwing for 400 yards a game. Brady might not be setting any single season records. But, man, when they can game plan for one team in 1 week to win one game, who is better than those two? Nobody.
None. I can even
say... Is Tom Brady the greatest athlete of our generation?
Okay, athlete's a strong word. Quarterback.
Athlete.
Clutch player.
What athlete has had more greatness than him in this generation? LeBron James?
Well, what is your definition of an athlete?
I know what you're thinking. Yes. An athlete doesn't necessarily mean who runs and jumps the fastest.
That's what I was asking you.
Because, no, I'm talking about athlete. Like, I'm talking about you need success. Like, I'm not talking about...
The most successful professional player.
LeBron James ain't the best athlete. Like, he ain't the guy that runs the fastest in the NBA. He's not the guy that jumps the highest in the NBA. But he is the best NBA player. Like, you know?
Yeah.
I know you're saying. I know you're thinking, athlete. I'm not just saying who can win, who can do a decathlon. You know,
like, yeah.
Because Tom Brady certainly ain't beating anybody in a run or a jumping contest. We saw that in the Super Bowl last year when they tried to throw him a pass. That was like, there you go. That's your best athlete.
I forgot about that.
His like 5'3", 40, and his 2-inch vertical weren't doing it for me.
5'3" is kind of generous for what I saw.
They weren't doing it for me when I saw him miss that catch.
But he's got that clutch gene. He's got that magic that so few players
have. And he knows how to execute.
Have.
Like, it's all focus with him, right? Like, it's laser focus. What happened on that last drive yesterday? Did he make an amazing throw? No, he made crucial plays. 3rd and 9, first down. 3rd and 10, first down.
He knows how to get the job done.
3rd and 7, first down. Like, hey, let's check into the right play. Let's audible at the line of scrimmage. Let's make sure everybody's lined up right. It's just like clockwork with this guy. His laser focus, we got to recognize it. And I know people have, but I'm just saying, like, it's the subtleties about the game.
Do you think being married to a Brazilian supermodel, one of the gorgeous women in the world, helps?
She probably married him because she recognized early how clutch he was.
That's probably true.
Like, I bet, like, the dude is so clutch. I bet you on their first date. Like, the bill came, and he had the exact change. Like, that's how clutch he is. Like, he was at the restaurant, and it's like $123.67. He's like, wow.
You think they only
just happened to have $123 in cash on me. Oh, and would you look at that? 67 cents in my pocket. Like, that's Tom Brady.
First of all, it's laughable that you think it would be $123 for a date of those
I don't
two.
Know when they got married. How far into his career did they get married? Because was he rich Tom Brady yet, or was
it's
he on his way?
It's time to do research.
Because we got to remember, Jeff, the dude was a fifth round or sixth round draft pick.
Oh, yeah. Like, he got no
he
money.
He wasn't getting paid until he got his first contract extension. He wasn't getting paid until the endorsements started rolling in.
Let's see here. Oh, by the way, his 40 time was 5.28. Thank you.
Well, I almost nailed it. I said 5.3.
Yeah, you were very close, actually.
It's not 5.28 anymore, though. It's probably 5.6, 5.7.
There was a... I didn't know he dated her. I can't pronounce her name, but Bridget Mahonan?
Oh, yeah. They were married, I believe. Bridget Mahonan.
It just says partner.
I think they had a child.
I had no idea. Jesus criminy.
Yeah, Bridget Moynihan.
I had no idea he did that with her too, but they got married in 2009, so he was already making millions by that point.
Yes.
So, obviously, I'm assuming their dinner was more than $123.
So he married Giselle in 2009.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was with Bridget in 2004 to 2006.
And he won his first Super Bowl in 2001.
Yeah. In 3 years, he dated a very popular and gorgeous actress and then a Brazilian supermodel. Can't get much better than that, can
he? Nice.
Jeez.
And we all doubted him.
And he's going to his ninth Super Bowl, record ninth
Super Bowl. And I believe he was the backup quarterback for Drew Henson.
Yes, he was the backup at Michigan. He wasn't even the starter.
For Drew Henson, who was the Cowboys starting quarterback for like a hot minute.
And you can easily say, who? Who's Drew Henson?
Drew Henson is the first athlete that I remember being a top baseball and football prospect out of high school.
And by the way, you're right about Bridget having his child.
Yeah, they had a kid, and then he married Giselle.
I hope he still sees that kid, but anyways. Well, you never know.
That's
a
rabbit hole.
I don't know.
We don't have to go there, right?
Yeah, of course not.
We should probably take a break, though.
Yes.
Talk a little.
We will envy Tom Brady's life later. Anyways,
we'll talk about what is the future for the Saints and the Chiefs. We'll do
the
that
losers of the championship games and what their outcome might be. We'll be right back right after this.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We just finished on with the NFC and AFC Championship games. Now we're moving on to the participant trophy winners of those championship games, the Saints and the Chiefs. Let's start with the Saints.
Let's do it.
Do you see them – let's just go straight to the point. Do you see them returning to the NFC Championship and maybe even a Super Bowl appearance next season?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. You're 100% certain on this.
I just don't see it happening. I'm not saying they can't. They're incredibly talented. They still have one of the best quarterbacks of this generation. They have one of the best coaches in the NFL. But I'll tell you why, Jeff. It's not about talent. It's about mentality. That's now 2 years in a row that the Saints were Super Bowl contenders where they lost in a really brutal way. The brutal loss against Minnesota last year, and then yesterday's brutal loss at home. Yesterday's was even worse. But still, they lose on those two games. It's really hard to do it a third time. It's kind of like the Super Bowl hangover. And I just feel like... Also, another thing that we have to take into account, there's a lot of luck involved in this game. Every team in the NFL is actually good. As much as we make fun of a lot of these teams, every team in the NFL is one or two players away from being good. They all have five or six studs. And for the Saints... That division's usually pretty tough. I just don't see them being able to recover from the mental effects of the last two seasons. What about you?
I agree. I hate
this is going
to
haunt them for a while. They lost at home in the NFC Championship game, a year that Drew Brees broke passing records, a year that they stayed pretty healthy. Like, the Saints were really healthy. Kamara was healthy. Yeah. Michael Thomas was healthy. They were not one of the more injury-riddled teams, whereas some other teams could say that they were.
Yeah. And this isn't, like I just said recently, last year they lost in the Minneapolis Miracle, and now they lost this controversial game against the Rams. This team just has bad luck written about them the last couple of years, and you can only go so far for so long. I guess we can say that for the Patriots, maybe not them. But Breeze is on his last legs like Brady is, and as well as, like, maybe Payton is too, let's say, risk-taking for his own good, especially in some unnecessary games where you don't need to be that way. And that might cost him some games more than that win him some games in the long run next season. And also you got to look at the fact that there's probably going to be players that are going to be gone that are crucial to their team in free agency. Like, who knows who's available in free agency? I'm not entirely sure. But I have a feeling that this team will not be the same going next season. I agree with Mark on that. And it's just – and, like, it's like the Vikings from last season. You know, they were in the NFC Championship game. They got Kirk Cousins. Everyone's like, this is the Super Bowl team now. And look, they didn't even make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So
– it's – yeah. It's the NFL, man. Like, it's way too hard to just be like, oh, yeah, this team's going to for sure be back. Like – the Saints, you could argue, should have had more success in the last 10 years, and they haven't, you know. So, like, history shows that maybe the Saints actually won't be back next year.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Drew Brees is going to be a year older. We talked about how healthy they were. You know that Mark Ingram's a free agent?
That is big. That's a big loss.
So what do they do there? They probably let him go because I think some team will pay more than the Saints will.
Oh, 100%.
But then at that point, the Saints need to find another running back too, because Kamara, you don't want him to just get hit 30 times a game. Like, yeah. You don't want to overuse him.
It will be over before it begins.
So they're going to have questions to answer there. Ben Watson's retiring. They're tight end. I know he's not a big, like, box score guy, but he's still a main cog in their team.
Yeah.
It's just going to be difficult for them, man. It's a Super Bowl hangover, but it's a, you know, NFC Championship game hangover.
Yeah, well, it's just a deep playoff run hangover.
And that's remember how they lost to the Vikings last year? Like, another terrible way to lose. Like,
you mean the miracle game?
Yeah.
Like, with Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. All right, so what about the Chiefs?
Careful. Okay, I think you want to go first, it sounds like.
No. I'm just – go ahead.
Okay.
I know what you're thinking, right? They got a really young quarterback.
Yeah.
This team's going to be good for a long time, right?
I never said they're going to be good for a long time. I said they have a good chance to repeat and get back to where they are now.
They do have a good chance.
But I'm not going to say this is going to be like Patriots.
You know why I say careful, though?
Why careful?
Because I remember a quarterback that was very young who went to the Super Bowl in his second season, who everybody said, don't worry about this loss. He'll be back many times over and over again. Who was that quarterback? Do you know who I'm talking about? He made it to the Super Bowl in his second NFL season.
What year was this?
Everybody knew that he was a young, awesome quarterback, and they're like, dude, this guy is going to win. He's going to be playing in so many of these games, and he never made it back. Now, I know Mahomes didn't make the Super Bowl, but it was a similar situation.
What? How long ago was this?
It's been a while.
I have.
Think of a famous quarterback who's only played in one Super Bowl who never won. Who's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He's never won a Super Bowl, and that's like the reason why people don't say.
Is this in the last 20 years?
Has he played in the last 20 years? Don't think so. Maybe.
Okay, so this is a long time ago. Oh, Dan Marino.
Yes. Dan Marino's second year.
I didn't know if you were talking about.
Made it to the Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl, and everybody said, it doesn't matter. This kid is young. Yeah. He'll be back.
Obviously not. Well, I mean,
I think
not
Patrick
great,
Mahomes is awesome. I think he deserves every credit, and I think he's going to win MVP, but it's not so simple.
So you think he's going to have a Dan Marino-like career?
No, not at all. I just don't – you can't just say the Chiefs are going to be in the Super Bowl three or four times the next 10 years or something like that.
You can't predict that either. It's very unlikely.
And Andy Reid, for his strengths and weaknesses, doesn't have the best track record of winning big games.
Ooh, ouch, and it's true.
No, I mean, you'd be the first one to say it.
I am the first one to say it.
I feel like I defend him more than anything. Yeah. I feel like I defend Andy Reid.
I feel bad because I finally give him his credit and give him a chance to win. I picked them to win, and they lose.
But I'll tell you right now, the loss that they suffered yesterday was a very I feel like Andy Reid has lost some of those games where – it's not his fault, but they just lose to a team that's better. Like, they just lose to a team
they're
that's
the
a
right,
little bit
they're
better.
They're at the right place at the wrong time.
The Patriots are better than the Chiefs. Can we admit that?
Yes.
Like, they are. They have a better defense. They're just a little bit better coached. They have the freaking king of quarterbacks. Like, come on. Like, they have a Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Like, if there's an NFL Mount Rushmore and it was quarterback and head coach, they'd probably have two of the four people on the Mount Rushmore. They'd have Brady and Belichick. Like, they'd probably be to both be up there, you know, regardless.
That's accurate.
I think the Chiefs have a better chance of getting back than the Saints, 100%. And a lot of it has to do with the division for me. The AFC West is kind of a joke right now. Until the Broncos, I know the Chargers were good. Don't get me wrong. It's two teams. But the Broncos they're on a sinking ship. The Raiders look like they're lost at sea. You know?
Yeah.
See what I did there? Raiders lost at sea.
I'm just going to no-sell that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shameless self-promotion.
Very shameless.
But yeah, man, like, I don't know. And plus, don't you think the NFC overall is just better?
Yeah.
Like, the AFC, I feel like...
Well, when Brady makes it every year... It kind of shows the fact that there's a lot more competition in the NFC.
You
want to
know another
NFC.
Fact that I find very weird?
What?
Which division in the NFC has had more teams go to the Super Bowl since realignment? Which division in the NFC has had the most Super Bowl participants?
NFC West.
NFC West. Isn't that weird?
And they're considered one of the worst.
Isn't that odd?
Because we've had the 49ers in it, we've had the Seahawks in it, and now we've had the Rams.
And
in
the Cardinals made it twice.
The Cardinals made it once.
Was it once?
Yeah, 2000.
Oh, yeah, against the Steelers.
They went to the NFC title game twice, but...
The Seahawks have made the Super Bowl three times.
Yes. Niners have made it twice.
Seahawks lost to Pittsburgh. Seahawks lost to Pittsburgh.
In 2005.
Lost to the Broncos and beat...
No,
or
lost,
no, beat the Broncos and beat
the
Patriots.
Lost to the Patriots.
I'm sorry. Beat the Broncos, lost to the Patriots.
The Niners went since the realignment once.
Only once.
In 47
Cardinals
the
once. Rams have now done it three times?
Cardinals?
Rams?
Twice.
Is this the third time? Or second time?
Second time. 01. Or wait a minute, 1999. Was the realignment 1999?
It was about that time, but maybe not.
God, I need to check now.
I feel like it's about the year 2000, right? Like, that's a good question.
I'll look that up as of the moment. 2002. So, no, it didn't count. So, their first Super Bowl didn't even count because they made it in 01.
Mm-hmm.
So, once. But the Seahawks three times, the Niners once. Each team from the NFC West has made it to the Super Bowl since the realignment. And they've won a combined one time.
Yeah, so, I think Chiefs make it back. Anyways, we should go to a break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll talk UFC. Big
yes.
UFC event. The first UFC event on ESPN Plus. We'll talk about that.
And actually, there's an NFL player on that, a former NFL player.
And we'll
on
talk
that
about a. We'll talk about injury news in the NBA.
Yes. Right back right after this. Hold on tight.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's GSMCpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome to the final segment of the GSMC Sports Podcast. We've talked about all NFC and AFC championship games and the aftermath of each losing team and winning team. We will predict the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, so we got a long ways to go before then. But right now, we got to talk about the UFC. There was it was their ESPN Plus debut on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, and they defeated a new championship belt.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the championship belt?
I think it's cool.
I liked it, too. Some people say it's stupid looking. I liked it. I like the fact that you could put the name is going to be on there now, the champion's name and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks so generic, like it was just, they just replicated, it was just a replica of a belt. Now it seems more custom made for the fighter, which I enjoy.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool. I have no problems with it, but I mean, the main event, Henry Cejudo defeats TJ Dillashaw. Dillashaw was going down to flyweight to try and fight the flyweight champion, Henry Cejudo. This fight was over in 32 seconds. Referee stops the fight after a flurry of punches from Henry Cejudo. I personally think that the fight was stopped too early, but I understand why it was stopped because Dillashaw got rocked like four times in the first 30 seconds. Like, he really did get pummeled, but I thought he was still fighting. What was your thoughts? It's kind of a controversial ending.
Yeah, but I think
he was still fighting. He was dazed for sure.
I think it was one of those things where he was just like, it was one of the long lines of he's so out of it that he's just like fighting an invisible man type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he was defending him. I don't know.
We'll never know.
It's controversial because anytime you stop the fight that early, you really kind of allow yourself to be
seconds. Yeah, that's pretty fast.
Like, you allow yourself to be, as a referee, like, you got to be really sure, in my opinion. It wasn't like the guy's been taking punishment all night. Like, if he's been taking punishment and he's just been getting clobbered, then it's like, okay, maybe I need to step in. But Henry Cejudo, man, very, very impressive win for him. He said he'll give Dillashaw a rematch, but he'll do it at his weight class so he can have the chance to win two belts like Dillashaw was trying to do.
Clever girl.
I like it. So the one fight on this card that's...
I'm not calling him a girl. I'm using the Jurassic Park reference.
One fight that's going to be the most scrutinized fight on this card was Greg Hardy, the former NFL player we know has had problems with domestic violence in the past. Controversial figure.
People were not agreeing with the fact that he was on this card.
Not only does he have a controversial past, but he was controversial being put on as a co-main event on this card because of his short experience in the UFC. He was disqualified in round two for an illegal knee to the head. You cannot put your hand on someone's back of their head and knee him. You can't do that.
It was pretty obvious.
Nobody can argue it. It's a street fighting move.
It wasn't one of those things where the guy is purposely falling to his knee as soon as the knee's coming. Like, I've seen that happen. I do not like that.
You
like,
can't put your... when the guy's on the ground, you can't knee him in the head. You definitely can't put your hand on the back
of
his head.
He was on the ground for a little long period of time. It wasn't like he was going down as he was kneeing him. It was a blatant knee to the head. While he was down, it's like he wanted the fight to end, so he just said, screw it, I'm gonna DQ myself.
Yeah, so Hardy, I don't think we'll be seeing him on a main card anytime soon, hopefully until he kind of gets his skills up, because he was already looking like he was a little bit gassed in round two. Joseph Benavidez, he's been a popular name. He wins his flyweight fight. But the women flyweight, that's a big story. Paige VanZant gets a huge win over Rachel Ostovich. A very good fight. It was a nice blend of styles here.
That was, that was an upset victory for a lot of people.
Submission from her great jiu-jitsu. Rachel Ostovich taps out.
That almost sounded sarcastic. But
no,
it's true.
It was a great...
Just how you said it sounded a little sarcastic.
A great win from a... defensive, appearing to be defensive positions. We know a lot of jiu-jitsu, a lot of UFC, you can look like you're in a vulnerable position but actually be the aggressor, and she showed everybody her class. Paige VanZant wins over Rachel Ostovich. Anyways, my take was it was a pretty decent event for the first one on ESPN Plus. Some people did have problems accessing it because it was a free trial. You could get ESPN. I think they just had so many people.
When did ESPN Plus even come out? It's recent.
About 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, I've had it. I've personally been a subscriber for about a year. I love it.
So you think it's the right move by UFC?
I personally love ESPN Plus, and I had no.
This isn't a plug.
This was way before I knew that they were going to get UFC. UFC.
This is just a bonus now for you?
I got it to watch all the soccer that I wanted, and it comes with like pretty much every league. Like, it's $5 a month. You can cancel any time, so it's like, oh, I don't want it this month. I'll just not have it.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, they have really good, like, fantasy football shows and stuff like that, too. So,
better than ours?
Of course not. Anyways, last story of the day, Lonzo Ball sprains his ankle, out 4 to 6 weeks. The Lakers have had injury problems. LeBron's still out. Rondo should be back soon. Rondo and LeBron should be back soon, but they're both out. Now Lonzo's out. Do the Lakers need LeBron back ASAP or what?
Sure, yeah. Well, they've needed him for a couple of weeks now.
They had a big win the other day over the Rockets, and then they almost beat – or the Thunder, and they almost beat the Rockets. But
well, Harden did Harden things.
Harden's been doing Harden things. We'll talk more about Harden doing Harden things tomorrow. Join us, and we can discuss all the latest and greatest in sports. We'll get back to the NBA a little bit more and everything else. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.